First part, question 113, the guardianship of the good angels. Article 2, whether each man is guarded by an angel. Christ says, "They're angels in heaven," in Matthew 18:10. And on this text, St. Jerome says, "Great is the dignity of souls, for each one to have an angel deputed to guard it from its birth." Each man has an angel guardian appointed to him. This rests upon the fact that the guardianship of angels belongs to the execution of divine providence concerning men. But God's providence acts differently as regards men and as regards other corruptible creatures, for they are related differently to incorruptibility. For men are not only incorruptible in the common species, but also in the proper forms of each individual, which are the rational souls, which cannot be said of other incorruptible things. Now it is manifest that the providence of God is chiefly exercised towards what remains forever, whereas regards things which pass away, the providence of God acts so as to order their existence to the things which are perpetual. Thus the providence of God is related to each man as it is to every genus or species of things corruptible. But according to St. Gregory, the different orders are deputed to the different genera of things, for instance, the powers to coerce the demons, the virtues to work miracles in things corporeal, while it is probable that the different species are presided over by different angels of the same order. Hence, it is also reasonable to suppose that different angels are appointed to the guardianship of different men. First objection. It would seem that each man is not guarded by an angel, for an angel is stronger than a man, but one man suffices to guard many men. Therefore, much more can one angel guard many men. Reply to the first objection. A guardian may be assigned to a man for two reasons. First, inasmuch as a man is an individual, and thus to one man one guardian is due, and sometimes several are appointed to guard one. Secondly, inasmuch as a man is part of a community, and thus one man is appointed as guardian of a whole community, to whom it belongs to provide what concerns one man in his relation to the whole community, such as external works, which are sources of strength or weakness to others. But angel guardians are given to men also as regards invisible and occult things, concerning the salvation of each one in his own regard. Hence, individual angels are appointed to guard individual men. Second objection. The lower things are brought to God through the medium of the higher, as Dionysius says. But as all the angels are unequal, there is only one angel between whom and men there is no medium. Therefore, there is only one angel who immediately guards men. Reply to the second objection. All the angels of the first hierarchy are, as to some things, enlightened by God directly, but as to other things, only the superior are directly enlightened by God, and these reveal them to the inferior. And the same also applies to the inferior orders, for a lower angel is enlightened in some respects by one of the highest, and in other respects by the one immediately above him. Thus it is possible that some one angel enlightens a man immediately, and yet has other angels beneath him whom he enlightens. Third objection. The greater angels are deputed to the greater offices, but it is not a greater office to keep one man more than another, since all men are naturally equal. Since, therefore, of all the angels, one is greater than another, it seems that different men are not guarded by different angels. Reply to the third objection. Although men are equal in nature, still inequality exists among them, according as divine providence orders some to the greater and others to the lesser things, according to Sirach 33:11-12, "With much knowledge the Lord hath divided them and diversified their ways. Some of them hath he blessed and exalted, and some of them hath he cursed and brought low." Thus it is a greater office to guard one man than another. Article 4. Whether angels are appointed to the guardianship of all men. St. Jerome says, "Each soul has an angel appointed to guard it." Man, while in this state of life, is, as it were, on a road by which he should journey towards heaven. On this road, man is threatened by many dangers, both from within and from without, according to Psalm 141, "In this way wherein I walked, they have hidden a snare for me." And therefore, as guardians are appointed for men who have to pass by an unsafe road, so an angel guardian is assigned to each man as long as he is a wayfarer. When, however, he arrives at the end of life, he no longer has a guardian angel, but in the kingdom he will have an angel to reign with him, in hell a demon to punish him. First objection. It would seem that angels are not appointed to the guardianship of all men, for it is written of Christ in Philippians 2:7 that he was made in the likeness of men and in habit found as a man. If, therefore, angels are appointed to the guardianship of all men, Christ also would have an angel guardian. But this is unseemly, for Christ is greater than all the angels. Therefore, angels are not appointed to the guardianship of all men. Reply to the first objection. Christ as man was guided immediately by the word of God, wherefore he needed not be guarded by an angel. Again, as regards his soul, he enjoyed the beatific vision, although in regards his passible body, he was a wayfarer. In this respect, it was right that he should not have a guardian angel as superior to him, but a ministering angel as inferior to him, whence it is written in Matthew 4:11 that angels came and ministered to him. Second objection. Adam was the first of all men, but it was not fitting that he should have a guardian angel, at least in the state of innocence, for then he was not beset by any dangers. Therefore, angels are not appointed to the guardianship of all men. Reply to the second objection. In the state of innocence, man was not threatened by any peril from within, because within him all was well ordered. But peril threatened from without, on account of the snares of the demons, as was proved by the fall. For this reason he needed a guardian angel. Third objection. Angels are appointed to the guardianship of men that they may take them by the hand and guide them to eternal life, encourage them to good works, and protect them against the assaults of the demons. But men who are foreknown to damnation never attain to eternal life. Infidels also, though at times they perform good works, do not perform them well, for they have not a right intention. Moreover, the coming of Antichrist will be according to the working of Satan, as is written in 2 Thessalonians 2:9. Therefore, angels are not deputed to the guardianship of all men. Reply to the third objection. Just as the damned, the infidels, and even Antichrist are not deprived of the interior help of natural reason, so neither are they deprived of that exterior help granted by God to the whole human race, namely the guardianship of the angels. And although the help which they receive therefrom does not result in their deserving eternal life by good works, it does nevertheless conduce to their being protected from certain evils which would hurt both themselves and others. For even the demons are held off by the good angels, lest they hurt as much as they would. In like manner, Antichrist will not do as much harm as he would wish. Article 6. Whether the guardian angel ever forsakes a man. The demons are ever assailing us, according to 1 Peter 5:8. Your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, goeth about, seeking whom he may devour. Much more, therefore, do the good angels ever guard us. The guardianship of the angels is an effect of divine providence in regard to man. Now it is evident that neither man nor anything at all is entirely withdrawn from the providence of God. For in as far as a thing participates in being, so far is it subject to the providence that extends over all being. God indeed is said to forsake man according to the ordering of his providence, but only in so far as he allows man to suffer some defect of punishment or of fault. In like manner it must be said that the angel guardian never forsakes a man entirely, but sometimes he leaves him in some particular, for instance by not preventing him from being subject to some trouble, or even from falling into sin, according to the ordering of divine judgments. In this sense, Babylon and the house of Israel are said to have been forsaken by the angels because their angel guardians did not prevent them from being subject to tribulation. St. Thomas considers the first two objections resolved by this answer. Third objection. According to St. John Damascene, when the angels are here with us, they are not in heaven, but sometimes they are in heaven, therefore sometimes they forsake us. Reply to the third objection. Although an angel may forsake a man sometimes locally, he does not for that reason forsake him as to the effect of his guardianship, for even when he is in heaven he knows what is happening to man. Nor does he need time for his local motion, for he can be with man in an instant.